You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream. Dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn. I've been having a sweet dream. I've been dreaming since I woke up today. It's starring me in my sweet dream. She's the one makes me feel this way. And even if time is passing me by a lot, I couldn't care less about the dues you say I got. Tomorrow I'll pay the dues for dropping my load. A pie in the face for being a sleepy bulldog.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast. And what a broadcast it's been, as they all are here on TPC. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. We now take you to the American Renaissance Conference. And I had thought about playing as our opening for this hour, Nashville Cats.
Yeah.
By the 11 Spoonful, because, of course, Jared holds his gatherings near Nashville every year now for many years.
45 miles away.
But then I was thinking, well, I like this song by the 11 Spoonful a lot more than I like Nashville Cats. And so that's why we went with that one. Not necessarily germane, but we do what we want. You said, Darling, Be Home Soon, we should play. Now, I got to say this. I was coming back from Sanibel, Florida with my wife and kids and my parents and my dad, listened to Darling, Be Home Soon probably for about half the trip. The way I'm on repeat. So that was just a couple of years ago.
It was their last big hit, and it was a good one. Another one.
But listen to it for 8 hours in a row.
But let me tell you another one you need to put on, because it's the time that we start our show every week, 6 o'clock.
That's
another good one.
That's right. Okay, we'll see what happens. But we'll see what happens after we talk with Neil Kumar. Neil Kumar, of course, is the America First Patriot running for the United States Congress out of Arkansas's 3rd District. His family roots here in America go back to the 17th century. Be sure to check him out, not only that, and learn more about him, but to support his campaign as well at neilforarkansas.com. That's neilforarkansas.com. And Neil was on with us a couple of months ago. We had a great hour with him. Really enjoyed it. And I'd been wanting to have Neil back on since then. And it was just, in fact, entirely serendipitous that he just so happens to be at Amarin's tonight to give us a live report from the field. So we're going to have a little twofer with congressional candidate Neil Kumar. And we're going to ask him what's going on live from the scene at Amarin. But first, we're going to hear the latest on his campaign, what's happened on the campaign trail since his last visit with us a few weeks ago. So, Neil, my friend, take it away.
Yeah, great to be here. So since we last spoke, the Arkansas Republican Party has officially denounced and disavowed my campaign, calling me a racist, sexist bigot and declaring me a non-recommended candidate, which means that if I do win my primary, they will not provide me with any financial support or otherwise. Now, this has only happened 3 times in U.S. history to candidates during the primaries: David Duke, Paul Neelan, and Neil Kumar.
Wow.
Well, you're in good company there. And I would say this. Look, I'm looking at the screenshot from your website with a beautiful Ozark Valley. I've got an idea for a new campaign song for you to the tune of Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. It'd be born in a mountaintop in Arkansas, prettiest state that you ever saw. How about like
that?
Oh, I love it. Keep singing, Keith.
Neil Kumar, King of the Wild Frontier.
I'll tell you something else. One day after the GOP officially called me a, you know, racist devil, my payment processor, Anadot, dropped my account. Looking at the timing of that, it seems clear to me that the GOP called my payment processor and pressured them into dropping me. I have since found a new processor, though, so we're back online.
All right, now I'm glad you mentioned that. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, neilforarkansas.com. When Neil was back with us, most recently with us, you got to go back and listen to that hour. We talk about the platform. We talk about the issues that animate his campaign. It was a fantastic hour. And it's just so fascinating that now Neil Kumar is being subjected to the same invectives that they reserve for all whites. And what is the definition of racist now? Well, the definition of a racist is a white man who doesn't hate himself. Of course, anything that a non-white does, if you criticize that's hatred. You know, we wrote a book about this. I wrote a book about this in 2010. That was very prescient. But Neil, I know you're there and being subjected to this. You're a racist. You're a bigot. I saw an article just a couple of days ago where Michelle Malkin, who was one of the Ameren speakers this weekend, was referred to as a white supremacist. So,
yeah,
I mean, it doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Death wears I sting.
I'm proud of my Southern heritage. I'm a white advocate, and I'm an immigration patriot. And the GOP is doing what they always do, protecting their incumbents and their anti-white America last grip.
Well, it shows that they're not really on the side of white people. Definitely say that the Democrats are on the side of non-whites and black people in particular, but we have no advocates, but you're going to step in and fill a void for us. Neil, I really feel like all of this that you're going through, it's just like Jesus said, you know, that blessed are those who are persecuted in my name. That's what you are. You're being persecuted for being a righteous man.
Well, to your point, Keith, I told Neil a few minutes ago. I said, "Well, we tweeted out tonight that you're going to be on the show," and he said, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't retweet it. My Twitter account was frozen." So he's lost payment processors, he's lost social media, and that, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, tells you he's a guy you need to support. And you can support Neil even if you can't vote for Neil. There are ways to support candidates that can't represent you physically as a voter in their district. He can support you in the United States Congress no matter where you live. NeilForArkansas.com. Neil, a minute or two remaining in this segment. We'll keep you through the break, and then we'll hear a little bit about what you've experienced this weekend. Then we'll let you get back to that fantastic dinner banquet that they're no doubt having right now at Ameren. I know you've been on the campaign trail. You've been making appearances. I saw something that was very inspiring from you. You got up on the stage just feet away from your incumbent opponent and just basically said how it is in no uncertain terms.
Yeah. So this is at the Carroll County, Arkansas Lincoln Day dinner, you know, the party of Lincoln crap, right? Murderous tyrant. But that's aside the point. So I got up there on stage. I was told I had 5 minutes. Then they changed it to 3, and I told it like it is. You know, I asked him why he certified a fraudulent election. I asked why he voted for the January 6th Mueller-style commission, legitimizing the torture of Trump supporters. And they threw me.
And then the 3 minutes went to the situation, Keith, you see, where they bring the cane out. Yeah. But hey, I tell you what, Neil Kumar is showing a lot of bravery, a lot of courage, and a lot of backbone. NeilForArkansas.com. We got him for another segment, so don't go anywhere.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, "Wait, your mom said to give you this." I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have, so I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout, and then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, Keith, you get points tonight if you tell me what book of the Bible that comes from.
Ecclesiastes.
You got it.
I knew that, and you get points if you know who actually wrote the song and first performed it.
Jesus.
No, Pete Seeger.
Well, you just told me that. That would have been too easy. Anyway.
Well, I like to throw you those marshmallows, see if you can hit them out of the park.
That's right. Okay. Hey, well, we're back with Neil Kumar, our favorite congressional candidate. NeilForArkansas.com, ladies and gentlemen. Running against an establishment statist Republican.
Get a picture
candidate
of yourself in a coonskin cap. That's what
I'll hey, I tell you what, he looks sharper than us right there here on the Twitter. Even though his Twitter's frozen, he still looks better than we look tonight.
He's a new Davy Crockett, who is a congressman from Memphis, West Tennessee.
Well, let's find out what he's seen this weekend while he's in West Tennessee, and that's where he's at right now. He's calling in live from Amarin. Neil, what's the weekend shown you?
Well, we're in the beautiful Montgomery Bell State Park. I recommend that everybody in Tennessee go visit this park. It is gorgeous. The theme for this weekend is the 2020s, the decisive decade. It's do or die for white America. It's now or never. And it's invigorating to be here. You can feel the energy, the creativity. People are starting to wake up. There are no other conferences like the Amarin Conference, and that's a crying shame. Because we have to do more in-person, face-to-face events like this. We have to organize if we're going to do anything. Now, I understand people have to remain anonymous to keep their jobs and all of that. But at the same time, people are waiting until they feel safe to reveal their identities. And by the time that day comes, our country will be gone. So people here, a lot more are using their real names. People are waking up. They are organizing because we understand that the time has come for white identity politics. That's what this most recent gubernatorial election in Virginia proved, right? There's no ceiling on the white vote for the GOP, but the floor for the Democrats is zero.
I'm looking at the speakers right now, and of course you would expect this from Amarin, but every single one of them essentially either somebody we've interviewed and or a very close personal friend, Peter Brimelow, Sam Dixon, Roger Devlin, Jared Taylor, very close personal friends, Gregory Hood, good friend, David Cole, somebody we're working
Gregory's
with on the behind the scenes.
Now.
Oh, he's the keynoter. That's interesting. I was going to ask who was keynoting tonight. So, well, and for good reason. I was with him a couple of months ago at another event, and he just really hit it out of the park. The only people we don't know really personally who are on the speaking panel are Reuben Caleb and Michelle Malkin. You said you spoke with Michelle today. Tell us a little bit about that and some of your other takeaways from the other speakers.
Yeah, so Michelle did a great job. Her topic was How I Saw the Light. You know, Jared had just recently put out an appeal for Amarin readers to tell their stories of how they saw the light, how they saw reality. And then I had lunch with her and with my good friend Peter Brimelow. He had a great speech. He talked about the political developments. You know, I already mentioned Virginia. What we're seeing with these school boards, right? White parents are fighting anti-white hatred as whites, right? They're expressing their interests as white people. That's a development that we've not really seen since George Wallace led the charge against forced busing. So that's very encouraging. And then Jared Taylor gave a tremendous speech, probably the best speech I've ever seen him give, and one of the best speeches I've heard in my life. And I recommend everyone go look it up on Amarin and watch his speech. But I'll tell you how he concluded. This is the noblest cause that a man could fight for, right? White men have fought for all kinds of causes, but there's nothing more important than this, because we are losing our country. The rhetoric
and the reason we're losing it is because we will not express the same sense of racial solidarity that everyone else is not only allowed to have but encouraged to have. Why is it why in the world, what rational argument can you make for denying white people what other races are allowed to have?
Exactly.
And I think that's, and of course, by and large, a part of this conference, which we have covered in the past, we have spoken at in the past, broadcasted live from the past. It's a little hard to get a signal up there, which is why we're not there tonight. It's difficult out in the woods to get a good signal, and we have to be able to have that. But, all of these people, and I know Sam will close it tomorrow. Sam has made, I think, the second most appearances all time on this program, behind only Jared Taylor in terms of cumulative appearances here on TPC. I'm just looking at, this is my Christmas card list, these guys, Roger and Peter
and
just all the folks. Yeah, a great lineup. And so tell us about the atmosphere, if you don't mind, Neil, and then we'll go back and give that campaign website one more time and have you back on. Of course, you won't have the opportunity, if you're in the 3rd District of Arkansas, to vote for Neil until next year. He got out way ahead of this thing, and the primaries will happen, of course, later next year. So we'll hear back from Neil at regular intervals between now and then, and we'll focus on his campaign and what he's doing, the issues he's running for, and why he is so inspiring. The atmosphere tonight, the camaraderie amongst the attendees, what are you feeling? What are you seeing?
Well, I mean, as you know, it's very hard to know who you can speak freely with in today's Stalinist America. Be in a room full of like-minded people. We're all fighting for the same cause. We may disagree on some other issues, but this is the most important issue, and we're all in lockstep on that. And this is the first step towards building a parallel society, organizing our own physical communities where the threat of social ostracism can no longer touch us.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Neil Kumar, who is there live on the scene at Amarin. He has been banned from payment processors, from Twitter. His own party has denounced him. But you know who else that happened to? A guy named Donald Trump, and it worked out okay for him. And if you will it, it is no dream, I think someone once said.
And another one named James Edwards.
yes, that's true. But in any event, Neil, the final word to you, my friend, this segment. Take it away.
Oh, just thanks for having me. And, think hard about fighting openly for what you believe in, because the day will come when we no longer can. So the time to do that is right now. There's no time to lose.
Well, and speaking of right now, what are you about to do right now? Take us behind the scenes and on the scene and in the field, as it were. What's happening 5 minutes from now? You're going back in, going to enjoy the banquet. What's happening the rest of the night for those who aren't there ourselves?
Well, we've had the banquet, and after this, I'm going to walk back in and hopefully catch the tail end of Gregory Hood's speech. And then after that, there's a little party later tonight, reception. So,
boy, I tell you what, some guys have all the fun, don't they, Keith?
Yeah, across that little walkway and bridge up to where the little cabins are. They always had great parties there.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Neil Kumar, ladies and gentlemen, our man in Arkansas, and we love Arkansas, another great southern state, another great Confederate state, the home of Patrick Claiborne, if I'm not mistaken, our favorite Irishman.
Yeah.
I thought he was from Arkansas. Right. Yeah, that's right, Arkansas.
Well, hey, where are you at, Keith?
I'm just tuning back in here.
So,
yeah, you're Arkansas's answer to Davy Crockett, Neil. You're going to be the congressman from Arkansas, like Davy Crockett was a congressman from West Tennessee.
And he's going to put Arkansas first, and that website is, again, neilforarkansas.com, neilforarkansas.com.
You can find me on Gab at Neil for Arkansas.
At Neil for Arkansas on Gab, thank you. Yes, he's frozen on Twitter, but he's...
remember to find a coonskin cap.
Red hot and rolling on Gab, Neil
I'll
for
do
Arkansas.
It. I'm on it right now.
Hey, enjoy the rest of your night, Neil. Thanks for taking time out of the party to come talk to us here on the radio and to our extended family here in the audience. We'll be back with more right after this. neilforarkansas.com.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. A U.S. appeals court on Friday upheld its decision to put on hold an order by President Joe Biden to require COVID-19 vaccines. A three-member panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans affirmed its ruling despite the Biden administration's position that halting implementation of the vaccine mandate could lead to dozens or even hundreds of deaths. Biotechnology company Moderna Therapeutics has officially begun large-scale testing of its experimental COVID-19 vaccine on America's youngest children. Dr. James Conway, professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine.
This is kind of the final frontier in terms of COVID research. The other groups have been studied. Vaccines have been available. This is the last group that needs to be vaccinated.
This is USA Radio News.
Folks, you know how cancel culture has affected Mike Lindell. Well, MyPillow may have gotten canceled out of retail stores, but you can save big just in time for Christmas at MyPillow.com. The classic standard size MyPillow that sold in stores for almost $70 is on sale for Christmas for just $19.98. Standard size, $19.98. Queen and king size slightly higher, but only if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, get a MyPillow for that special person in your life. You also get a free press and pack bag so you can take your MyPillow anywhere. Save big on anything on the MyPillow website, but only if you use my promo code USA. Support Mike Lindell and American Jobs. Get the best price ever on a MyPillow and do your Christmas shopping at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175. Merry Christmas.
Thousands of Australians took to the streets of Melbourne to protest over both a vaccine mandate and a proposed bill which would give Victoria State Premier Daniel Andrews more power to declare a pandemic and impose lockdowns. Melbourne has experienced some of the longest and strictest COVID-19 lockdowns in the world. Melbourne's total number of days in lockdown since the beginning of the pandemic totaled 262. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki on Friday said the rise in gas prices makes a stronger case for doubling down on green energy policies.
Doubling down our investment and our focus on clean energy options so that we are not relying on the fluctuations and OPEC and their willingness to put more supply and meet the demand in the market.
Joe Biden's first order of business in taking office was to kill the Keystone XL pipeline and then ask OPEC for more oil.
This is USA Radio News.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way where the people are so gay, twisting the night away.
Well, you know, I have it on good authority that that's what's happening at Montgomery Bell State Park tonight up near Nashville at the Amrin 2021 conference. Our good friends, so many good friends and lifelong friends and regular guests on the, not just the panel of speakers this weekend, but also amongst the attendees. And we've had one earlier tonight, Neil Kumar, Arkansas candidate for United States Congress, from one current congressional candidate to a former congressional candidate we go. When I was surveying the people that I knew would be at Amrin, there was one there who can paint a verbal picture perhaps better than anyone I know, and that's Rick Tyler. And Rick Tyler is joining us now to wrap up tonight's show as we spend the third hour recapping the 2021 Amrin Conference. And I want to thank Rick for stepping away from the banquet, from the party, from all the festivities to join our audience here on TPC. Once again, I was with Rick just a couple of months ago at the League of the South Conference, and he was in my hotel room along with Brad Griffin and Sam Dixon and Michael Hill and others. Great show that was. Always great to have you, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well, James. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, again, thank you for stepping away from festivities to be on with us. And so, just take it away any direction you want, brother, and tell us what you see, what you hear, what the atmosphere has been like. Make us jealous.
Well, James, after the events of the recent time period during all of the virus mania, I wondered, how things would be once Jared resumed, his conferences at the Montgomery Bell State Park here in Tennessee. And they have renovated the whole hotel in the meantime. So it's a great facility now. It always has been. But now all of the rooms have been redone, and it's just really pristine. It's a beautiful job they've done on it.
Fantastic.
And, of course, Jared has not failed to do what he always does so well, which is to put on a spectacular event. Even though he had two cancellations of key speakers, I can't imagine what it would have been like if they had been here. As it is, I mean, the level of energy and excitement at this event, is really on par with some of the best gatherings I've ever attended in my entire experience of coming to events of this nature.
Rick, this is Keith Alexander. Who are the two that canceled? I'm just curious.
The ones that canceled were Colin Flaherty and David Cole, two big names.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah, actually,
to take
actually,
that in stride like Jared did is really remarkable.
Well, I know David Cole had some illness, and I was actually talking with David a couple of days ago, and I knew he wasn't going to be there. We're working on a project behind the scenes. Great guy, as is Colin Flaherty. I don't know what forced Colin's cancellation. He's been on this show as a guest as well, but nevertheless, that is interesting that not just one but two there at the last minute had to cancel. But you still have an embarrassment of riches there amongst the remaining speakers. We had mentioned in the previous segment, Rick, that all of them are either close personal. Well, really, all of them are close personal friends, except for two that we hadn't had the opportunity to speak with before. Michelle Malkin, one, and Ruben Caleb. Although Ruben, this is one of the things we really so much enjoy about TPC's broadcasting calendar each year is that we do this now. The last couple of years, at least, we've had this series that has just become wildly popular and really one of my most enjoyable. It's our March Around the World series, where we have these different leaders from Europe who come on and different members of the different European parliaments. And I see that Ruben is a member of the Estonian parliament. Tell us who look, they're all fantastic speakers. So we're not playing favorites here. I'm sure they all hit it out of the park. But based upon your perspective, Rick, who really stood out to you and why?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's really hard to pick a favorite because all have been outstanding. Of course, Jared, he gave his customary extraordinary talk. But Roger Devlin, he really led off with a great topic, which is envy. And he elucidated that subject, you know, in a brilliant way and set the stage. It's funny how at these events sometimes, you know, even though I know there's not meticulous coordination among the speakers, it almost seems like there is, because they all kind of tie together in terms of what they have to say. Peter Brimlow, you know, did a fantastic job. Now, Michelle Malkin is you know, obviously she's a number one talent wise and, you know, knowledge and depth. And of course, a great sense of humor, and probably, you know, if you were just, you know, going to pick one that maybe it's because she's new, you know, on the scene. But if you were going to pick somebody, you know, just from the sheer standpoint, not necessarily of entertainment, but just, you know, enjoyability of the talk, probably she would, you know, win.
Well, I got to say this because obviously Jared and Greg Hood and Roger and Sam and Peter Brimlow and even David Cole, who I've become more close with over the last year or so, but some of these other guys are lifelong friends and quite regular guests. Michelle would be interesting to me because she didn't have to do any of this. I mean, she had her ticket punched. She was a regular Fox News correspondent. She was embraced by the establishment conservative wing. She didn't need to do this. She did this out of principle and conviction. She left all of that. She left a very steady diet to come and be a heretic. And anybody that does that earns my respect, even if I don't know them personally.
Absolutely. And Jared gave her an extraordinary compliment by referring to her as the most courageous journalist probably in the country today. And her being here at this event speaks volumes, you know, as to her backbone and her tenacity and her courage. And again, she did a great job. Now, right now, Gregory Hood is speaking, you know, as the keynote speaker at the banquet. And before I stepped out, you know, to do this brief spot, oh, he was just doing an amazing job. I had no idea, you know, that he was the caliber of speaker.
Oh, yes,
that
yes,
is.
Yes.
And just read his articles.
Well, to Keith's point, I remember sitting down with Jared at an Amarin some years ago, I think when Gregory Hood had just signed on to write regular columns for Amarin, and I said, Jared, that's the best writer in the whole sphere. He's the best writer for me, bar none. And there's a lot of great ones and a lot of ones that I very much enjoy, but I think he's the best. And, you know, so, but I heard him speak. He and I were both at an event a couple of months ago, and we were both speakers. And I think it was because of that performance, perhaps, that he earned this opportunity. Of course, he worked with Jared, and Jared knows him better than I can assess his talent. But we got to get him on the show. I've known him for years and years and years. Great guy, ton of talent, both in the written word and in the spoken word as well, Keith.
Let me say something for Rick, too. You know, Rick, among all of the people in the white advocacy sphere, has lived what we preach, which is increasing white birth rates. You know, what is it? God said to Adam and to Noah, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Tell us how you've done in that regard.
Well, there's been an update since his last appearance on the show. Am I right, Rick?
That's right. A week ago Monday, my wife Jessica gave birth to my 20th child. Jessica's and mine, my 12th son, Isaac Samuel Tyler, came into this world and 9 pounds, 22 inches. So I'm very, very happy and feel blessed that at 64 years of age, I've been able to sire another son who will hopefully grow up to be a stalwart soldier in the battle for truth and the survival of our people in the days ahead.
Here,
well,
here.
I'm waiting for your reality TV show. The Duggars must be sweating it right now.
I tell you what, this guy's the real deal in a way that the Duggars, I like the Duggars, and I can't say anything bad about them, but I'll take Rick Tyler over Jim Bob. That's just
Rick,
that's
not only walks
the
walk, he also talks the talk.
So. Well, let me tell you something about it. This is incredible. For all the people who fell into the trap of you got to have less kids for climate change or whatever, Rick's doing the work that they didn't do.
And see, one of everything that the left has
and
done.
And it was his pleasure.
Absolutely. every left-wing movement, from public school integration to homosexual rights to feminism, you name it, the No-Fault Divorce Initiative, all have had one common effect, which is the reduction of white birth rates. And you recognize that early on, and you decide to do something about it, my friend, and my hat's off to you.
Nah, this is it really makes him – this is no joke, and I'm not just saying this because he's on the phone with us. in many ways, of all the people that are at Ameren tonight, he is the most remarkable for this reason, and there is no bigger reason. There is
I have met, some great people here this weekend. I've seen many ones that I was already acquainted with and familiar with, but lots of new blood in the room, and it is exciting because there is a growing, rising tide of awareness on the part of more and more of our people. And, you know, even though the stakes are higher, the danger is greater than ever, you know, to come out and, you know, be identified as someone, you know, who is willing to take a stand on the controversial subjects, more and more people are making the conscious choice, you know, that they realize that it's now or never. It's do or die. We've got to make our stand, and we have to do it in a sophisticated, savvy way, and nobody is better at crafting that type of approach than Jared Taylor.
Let me ask you this, Rick. Tell us about the mood and the atmosphere there. Is it dreary? Is it disconcerted? Or is it enthusiastic and forward-looking?
It is, I would say, cautiously optimistic. People realize that
fair assessment,
the enemy
and
is
a
doing
fair,
a
lot fair,
for
a fair, yeah, go.
Yeah, the enemy is doing a lot to help us recruit, you know, new adherents, you know, to the truths that we specialize in. But at the same time, I think there's a keen awareness, you know, that there is a growing desire to squelch us and suppress us once and for all. And so, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag, but there's a lot of optimism. And
Rick,
you know, there's
more one thing I'd like to say about that, too, is that we have, you know, the left has really overplayed their hand. But our biggest danger that we need to be aware of is that we don't just naturally revert back to Sean Hannity conservatism. We need the Jared Taylor, the Gregory Hood, the Roger Devlin, the Sam Dixon type of, and the Michelle Malkin type of conservatism to be the new version of what normie conservatives believe. Do you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly, and I think that we're witnessing the evolution of that right before our very eyes. And, of course, the political cesspool has been on the leading edge of this phenomenon and development now for 17 years, and we're starting to see fruit being born of all of the arduous labors, you know, that have been expended by so many of our racial kinsmen. And I think it's a blessing, you know, that we need to really be ever so thankful for and never forget, you know, who is sitting on the throne of the universe and is in charge of whether or not we succeed or fail and who we are accountable to for how we operate.
Rick, quite perhaps the most important thing that's been said on the entire show tonight. I just want to talk to Mr. Producer. I'm looking at the clock, and we may have blown through a break. I don't know if our production,
I didn't hear any music,
if our production crew has been raptured and we've been left behind, or if we're just good to keep going until the end of the show. I just don't want to be missing anything here.
If anyone knows how to bear fruit, it's Rick. So we're glad to hear from you.
After all these years, you get a. There it is. Well, you know what, I tell you what, my clock's wrong. That's all. Hey, Rick, hang on right there, okay. Rick. We got a couple of follow-up questions for you live from Ameren. We're gonna let you go back and enjoy the night, but don't go anywhere yet. Just a couple of follow-ups on the other side of this break when we head into the last segment of the evening. Stay tuned. Rick Tyler will be back with us for just a couple of more minutes on the flip side.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, You have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrat. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Here's a man in evening clothes. How he got here, I don't know. But man, you ought to see him go twisting the night away. He's dancing with the chicken slacks. She's moving up and back.
Well, there was Sam, I almost said Sam Dixon, but no, that was Sam. It was Sam Cooke singing about Rick Tyler, decades in advance there in the 60s. He knew Rick was going to be there tonight and dancing in the chicken slacks. And well, that's a good song. Hey, before tonight's show concludes, allow me to ask our Christian followers, did Jesus abrogate the kosher laws? Do your own research, because this is a topic too hot for ordained clergy to touch, especially as we continue to live under ubiquitous kosher certification, a revenue skimming business scheme that makes the story behind John 2:14 seem terribly mild in comparison. But it certainly has taught us a lesson. So please check out our sponsor, thekosherquestion.com, and get K-Wise. Get K-Wise at thekosherquestion.com. Okay, so Rick Tyler, back to you, my friend, for just a couple of parting shots before you go back and twist the night away. I got to ask you this, because we've been covering it so extensively the last 3 weeks. I doubt it would be mentioned on the podium or from the podium, and understandably so. But amongst the attendees, has the Charlottesville trial been mentioned? And what's your opinion of the trial?
There's quite a bit of discussion of it during the breaks, you know, as I talk to people at the book table. But also there has been some reference made to it, you know, from the podium, from the platform, just indirect. And, of course, Good. It's a very ominous situation that we're looking at Charlottesville. And we can only pray that somehow miraculously our good brethren and fellow soldiers in the battle, you know, don't come out on the drastic losing end of the stick in that litigation.
Well, we've been, like I said, we've been covering it quite extensively the last couple of weeks. We've done so with...
It's designed to be lost, though, Rick. You understand that even if they don't get the judgment, let's say they get a mistrial, that plays right into the hands of a slap lawsuit. That means that there will be a retrial and these people will have to double their expenses.
Well, God forbid. I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, it's all in God's hands, and that is the truth. That's not cliche. But in any event, we'll see where it goes. But interesting question. I mean, it does seem to be the topic of the cause right now. So I was curious as to what if any assessments or conversation has been had there. But rather than focusing on something negative, Rick. give us a parting shot any which way you please in terms of what we haven't asked, what you'd like to share with regards to the Ameren Conference, which is wrapping up tonight and in the morning, taking place right now as we broadcast.
Let me give you two real positive points to end on. First of all, the enemy made a pathetic showing today. They have been very well handled, as has been the case over the last several events here, by the park law enforcement agents. But the wind has been taken out of their sails. They are not really able to do anything to disrupt these events here at the Montgomery Bell. And so, you know, they've been totally thwarted for the time being. Secondly, lots of young people. There is definitely an infusion of youthful vigor and energy at this conference. And that seems to be a growing trend and phenomenon. And, of course, that can only be interpreted in a positive way.
Well, Rick, tell us a little bit more about what you've been up to. I mean, obviously, you've been a longtime friend. Obviously, we all know you're quite famous run for the United States Congress. But much more than that, you've had a hand in different pies and produced good fruit for so many years across so many different platforms and entities and organizations. What are you up to right now?
Well, James, I believe the best is yet to come. I'm planning on sponsoring another Nationalist Solutions Conference, hopefully in April, and may have a very interesting surprise announcement to make in the days ahead about the venue and location of that. I believe we're going to have to ultimately be able to shift to private venues, and I've been working real hard toward the development of the ability to do that. So that's what I'm hoping to be able to announce soon, coming up in, let's say, April of next year. I have, of course, also, you know, continued to do broadcasting. I'm currently broadcasting on Eurofolk Radio, which is eurofolkradio.com. It's a young broadcasting network, but it's very effective, and I'm getting ready to expand into a two-hour, five-morning-a-week broadcast on that. And so I'm looking forward to that because we need more and more avenues to get the word and the truth out, you know, to our people, to our folk.
Well, fantastic. Rick Tyler, always one of our favorites. Always good to see you, Rick, to talk with you, to break bread with you when you're on the show.
What is the name of your show, by the way, Rick?
The Voice of Liberty. It's called The Voice of Liberty. And it's on at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, eurofolkradio.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Rick, for, again, taking time out of the festivities tonight, which are at full tilt right now. We've been to several Ameren, spoken at Ameren a couple of times, and we know what's going on at Ameren between 8 and 9 p.m. And so for you and for Neil Kumar to join us this hour to give us the report from the scene, I really thank you for that. And we'll let you be on your way this evening. And Godspeed to you and to everybody else there. And we'll talk again soon, brother. Thank you again.
Thank you, James. It's been an honor and a pleasure. God bless you.
Rick Tyler, everybody, there he goes. And for Neil Kumar, as I just mentioned, helping us sort of give us a lay of the land there from Ameren. And also Courtney from Alabama in the second hour, first hour anchored by Trey Garrison, who was with us to talk about the Charlottesville trial. And it's just been a good night. So, Keith, with 2 minutes remaining, take us to the house. What do you got?
Well, I think that you need to look at that Step Zero article, and we're going to be running another one on the virtues of keeping a salutary distance. That's going to be next week. These things talk about topics that we have talked about and I think kind of uniquely talked about for years on this show. One is the need for planning in order to have so-called peaceful protests that succeed, particularly in unfriendly venues. And secondly, that other article will tell you about, guess what, our ancestors were right, segregation is a good idea. Be looking for that one next week.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. There's something Brother Nathaniel did that's good. I've bookmarked a few. So basically what happens, folks, is Monday through Friday there at the blog, post articles that have caught our attention that we think you should read that we may, in fact, cover here on this broadcast. And so that's sort of anchors the written content at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We always feature one of Pat's columns, you know, Pat Buchanan, who we're going to have a guest on next week, who I met for the first time a couple of months ago. But he and I were in Long Beach, California together in August of 2000. And he was a delegate for Pat, and I was a delegate for Pat, and we didn't meet until 21 years later.
Holy smokes.
But we were both there, and he's going to be with us next week. So
flew by like Haley's Comet.
It sure did. Boy, I tell you, I remember that like yesterday. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. For the rest of the staff and crew, thanks for being with us tonight. We will talk to you again next Saturday night if Jesus tarries his coming. Good night, everybody.